It is an absolute joy on Static on 2SER this week to be speaking to both Nate and Rachel from Water From Your Eyes. How are you both?
Doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good. You good, Rachel?
Cool. Thank you.
Well, good job on It's a Beautiful Place. You two sound like you're having a lot of fun on this record. And as always, with Water From Your Eyes, have challenged yourselves?
Yeah, it's always interesting. We here at Water From Your Eyes LLC say there's just some kind of orb that we're following around and we just kind of take instructions from that. We were challenging the orb on this one.
The orb told us to have fun.
Well, you'd already been having fun, right? Because although you've made a lot of albums already, did your perceptions change of what this band could be, Rachel, after the last album, Everyone's Crushed, and subsequent blaze of touring? Because heavy gigging and a live presence wasn't a thing for Water From Your Eyes up until then, right?
Yeah, I feel like every time anything happens with this band, from like even making music past our first EP, has been kind of a surprise and not something either of us planned for. But the touring and like all the eyes and ears on us have been cool. We've always had fun, I guess, yeah.
And you rose to the challenge because live you expanded to a quartet. You joined forces with guitarist Al and drummer Bailey from New York duo Fantasy of a Broken Heart. So did Water From Your Eyes live become this different beast than you ever could have envisioned before, Nate?
Oh, yeah, totally. I think for this band in particular, it felt important because the albums tend to be so sound arty that the sounds are so specific, they're hard to recreate with live instruments. And it's always kind of a bummer to go to a concert where it just is the same exact recording of the album. And it'd be just kind of like, why am I not just listening to the album? So I feel like it was important for Water From Your Eyes to develop a separate live identity that's connected to, but not beholden to, the studio identity. So it's this whole kind of other beast live, and it's kind of growing in its own way.
Did you discover that some songs had been too tricky by half on record? Did you have to simplify them to make them work?
Yeah, definitely. Every album has a song or two where it's just like, well, we're not even going to try to figure this one out live.
And what was it like playing that number of shows, Rachel, and having that many eyes on you? Because for a band that was used to playing DIY venues and basements, was that a nerve-wracking escalation, or did you take it in your stride? I mean, you did a lot of tours before and after that last record's release. You supported the likes of Interpol and Pavement and Spoon and Real Estate and Squid, so they were all busy, big tours.
I'd say the first tour was hard to get used to performing every single night. But, you know, after a while, you kind of just get used to whatever's happening. I mean, even when we played to like 160,000 people, it was kind of just like another day on the road.
Yeah, that was an Interpol show in Mexico City, right? 160,000 people. That's crazy.
I mean, like the show itself, the actual performing didn't feel that crazy. It was only like afterwards that felt nuts. When we're on stage, it kind of just feels like we're locked in. The before the shows, I'm still probably about the same amount of nervous as I've always been. But the actual performing, I think I've gotten used to that. But I'm kind of shy, to be honest. It's been weird to get used to just being perceived all the time. I think some days it's easier than others.
Despite all that touring and the increased attention on the band, for this album, Nate, you went back to recording the same way you always had, which is in your bedroom. So was that sort of an important thing for you to keep some level of what you had been doing with Water From Your Eyes and to not mess with the formula in making this record, It's a Beautiful Place?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the process by which this music is made is very particular, and it's what makes Water From Your Eyes sound like Water From Your Eyes. And pretty much in order to write the music, I need to be like by myself and pacing around for a year and a half. Like, I couldn't write in a studio in front of a producer and an engineer or anything. I feel like if we took it out of that context, it would just end up being a entirely different project. And recording technology has gotten to the point where you don't really have to do that anymore. I mean, you can, and it sounds different. I don't think it necessarily sounds better. I mean, maybe it technically sounds better, but I would rather hear something inspired that was recorded in a bedroom than something that was recorded with the nicest equipment possible, but it's just like a bad song. I feel like if I personally went into a studio to work with someone, I would probably just end up making bad songs.
Bad decisions.
Yeah.
Well, there must be some magic dust in the air in that bedroom, or lucky vibes that help you each time you finish a song.
Nah, it's probably like lead paint or asbestos or something.
That's the secret ingredient to water from your eyes. Right?
It's a little bit of poison.
Well, the location might have been familiar, but you branched out musically. Almost every song on this album, It's a Beautiful Place, has a guitar solo. Nate, was that inspired by rocking out on stages?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, when we started touring more, you know, playing guitar became my job, essentially, and then I began to get more into guitar stuff, whereas in the past, you know, I liked guitar. I didn't dislike guitar. I played guitar a lot, but, you know, in the context of writing, I was only ever really using a guitar if it was an idea that I'd already had and I wanted to record that idea, whereas some stuff on this album was more kind of guitar-based composition-wise. You know, there are lots of songs on Everyone's Crushed that don't have any guitar at all. And I don't know, rock music is really funny, and the funniest thing about rock music is guitar solos. I don't know, it's just one of those things that's equally goofy and badass, and I just thought it'd be funny to mash in as many guitar solos as I could into this album.
Well, you rose to the challenge. The frettery in Life Signs sounds like the band Unrest in a head-on collision with Slipknot. It's definitely the most new metal you've ever been.
Yeah, it's funny because I kind of have to really make an effort not to just play like metal guitar, because I'm not really like hanging out listening to indie rock. I pretty much listen to metal and classical music. Most of the music I listen to, if there's a guitar, it's usually like very heavy. So, you know, in the past when I've been recording, my guitar personality on record is very different than how I play guitar when I'm just hanging out playing guitar. Whereas this album, the two identities kind of collided a little more.
And Rachel, it wasn't all Nate indulging himself with metal sounds either, because perhaps the biggest flip on this album is your deadpan disco song, Playing Classics. And I heard that came out of almost like a dare, right? You told Nate you wanted a disco song on the record.
I've been begging Nate to make a disco track for years now, just for my own personal enjoyment, really. That's all I want, really. I love disco. It's like my favorite dance music for sure. And what a nice surprise when he sent me the instrumentals.
You finally wore him down.
Yeah, finally.
Have you heard that disco song played out in a club yet, Rachel?
No. I mean, to be fair, I haven't really been at the club in a really long time. Although, I'm going to be honest, I don't really know if I went to a club if I would want to hear my voice. I feel like when I go to the club, I like to dance and, you know, zone out. I don't know if I could do that knowing that I'm just listening to myself.
And did thinking of bigger and more eclectic sounds also make you guys think of bigger concepts? Nate, this album starts with a song called One Small Step. And I know, Rachel, you're an avid reader of sci-fi and political theory. So were there some bigger concepts at play in thinking about the themes of this album?
Yeah, I mean, I just really love space and time and big things. I was thinking a lot about time on like a geological scale and space and stuff. I don't know. It's funny because when you're just making music that is inspired by something, you don't really have to like articulate it in words, but for lack of a better term. It was trying to write music about God or something. I don't know. The words don't really cut it. It was like a feeling. If I could articulate that feeling, I'd probably be a writer, not a guitar player.
And Nate, as you make more records as Water From Your Eyes, are you aware of that? These are sort of moments in time between you and Rachel where you are not only sort of exploring making different sounds, but also conversing with each other and conceptualizing and grappling with concepts and thinking about your place in the world?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's important, you know, when you're making something collaborative to set like not ground rules, but a ground vibe. I mean, it's not like Rachel and I don't talk about this stuff anyway, so it kind of naturally just makes its way into the music at all times. Everything that you make is like a product of whatever you're thinking about in that moment, and often what you're thinking about in that moment is what you've been talking about.
Yeah, and it's great to have it all wrapped up in this album, you two, in this record from Water From Your Eyes. It is a beautiful album that you've both made. We might have a listen to a song off the album on the radio right now. Nate and Rachel will play Spaceship.
All right.
It was great to talk to the pair of you about this album and have some fun out there on the road. Nate and Rachel, shred hard.
Thanks so much for having us.
This is Water From Your Eyes now on Static. Thanks.
Thank you so much.